Good morning. Welcome to Zion Lutheran Church. We're so thankful that you're here on the Lord's Day. If you are present here in the sanctuary, please sign in on the friendship booklets found in the pew racks and pass them on down. Also, prayer request cards are found in the pew racks. You can fill those out as the service goes on and drop them in the offering tray, or there's a receptacle in the rear of the sanctuary marked prayers. You can drop them in there and know they'll be prayed on several times this coming week. Welcome to those on KXRB as well. Just a reminder, we're here every Sunday morning at 10:05, so please tune us in when you have opportunity, and welcome to those on the live stream as well. Good to have you via the internet. Well, we continue on today in our series. We move out of Acts, actually, the book of, and we're kind of finalizing our time together in the early church and moving on to 2 Timothy chapter 1 and chapter 3 as Paul going to pass the baton of leadership and faith on to Pastor Timothy, so stay tuned for that in the message today. Well, the announcements ought to be coming up on the screens right before you. First one being, President Scott Seiler is here today to walk us through the call process as we consider calling a second pastor, so that'll happen between the services. So come on over to the atrium, and we'll start about 9:20 or so. Grab some refreshments, talk a bit, and we'll get started. Next announcement, we're going to finish up our midweek Lenten series already this coming Wednesday. Can you believe it? 6 weeks of Lent have passed. Well, we'll continue on in our theme, Jesus tells us why he must suffer, and our final time together is he tells us that he wants to glorify us. The elders will be serving hot ham and cheese, chips, fruit, and dessert, starting at 5:30 on Wednesday night as our pre-service meal. A free donation will be taken for that. Now, if you're 55 or older, you can come and experience some joy, which stands for Just Older Youth, and that happens on Tuesday at 10:30 a.m. over in the atrium, right to your right. There's a short devotion, there's some fellowship, there's always a fun activity and or game, and then a light lunch to follow. So please consider coming and being together as the body of Christ if you're 55 or older. And I guess I actually am part of that group now. Well, the next announcement, on Palm Sunday, you can enjoy a Sunday. Those will be provided. Families in Faith invites you to a potluck and the ice cream sundaes on Palm Sunday after the late service next Sunday. So please sign up on the welcome wall in the east entry and let us know you're going to be attending and what you're going to bring. Next announcement, Zion is serving the supper at the banquet on the west side on Monday, April 14th. There is a sign-up sheet in the back of the sanctuary on the table with the black cloth, so please prayerfully consider serving in that feeding ministry in our community. Next announcement, we are in need of volunteers to help with our Easter breakfast here at Zion. We have slots open to prepare, to serve, and to clean up. Please contact John Kritzmeyer or call the church office, or there's a sign-up sheet on the back table with the black cloth as well. So three opportunities to sign up to help on Easter breakfast here at Zion. And then finally, you may have seen the box in the back of the sanctuary. Kim Fitterer makes quilts for our high school graduate and is in need of denim. So if you have some old denim that is 100% cotton, she says no stretchy jeans, bring them on back and set them in the back and know they'll be used for our graduates here at Zion. Well, those are the announcements that I have for you this morning. Once again, so good to have you here in the worship, and why don't we rise and greet one another in the love and peace of our Lord Jesus Christ.
Welcome and a joyous good morning to you from all of us here at Zion Lutheran Church. Please join us now as we sing our opening hymn, Come Thou Font of Every Blessing, from the Lutheran Service Book, number 686.
Thank you.
the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Amen. Sin has separated every person from God. Our hearts are dark with sin. Each person needs the light of Jesus' love and forgiveness in their hearts. Let us confess our sins before Jesus, our Savior, the light of the world. Together, Lord God, we confess that we are sinners, our hearts are dark, and we are separated from you. We make mistakes, we hurt those we love. We have failed to live in a way that reflects your light in the world. For the sake of your Son, Jesus Christ, forgive us. Strengthen and transform us by your Holy Spirit, so that we may reflect the light of Jesus to others. Almighty God, in his mercy, has given his Son to die for you, and for his sake forgives you all of your sins. As a called and ordained servant of Christ and by his authority, I therefore forgive you all of your sins in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit. Thanks be to God. Amen. Our intro this morning is Psalm 111 and is responsive. I will extol the Lord with all my heart. Great are the works of the Lord. Glorious and majestic are his deeds. He has caused his wonders to be remembered. He provides food for those who fear him. He has shown his people the power of his works. The works of his hands are faithful and just. They are established forever and ever. He provided redemption for his people. The fear of the Lord is the beginning of wisdom. All who follow his precepts have good understanding. Glory be to the Father, and to the Son, and to the Holy Spirit.
As it was in the beginning, it is now, and it will be forever. Amen.
Glorious and majestic are his deeds. In peace, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace from above and for our salvation, let us pray to the Lord. For the peace of the whole world, for the well-being of the Church of God, and for the unity of all, let us pray to the Lord. For this holy house and for all who offer here their worship and praise, let us pray to the Lord. Help, save, comfort, and defend us, gracious Lord. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Let us pray together. Eternal God, today is radiant with the brilliance of one true light. May that light illuminate our hearts and shine in our words and deeds. May the hope, the peace, the joy, and the love represented by the birth in Bethlehem fill our lives and become part of all that we say and do. May we share the divine life of your Son, Jesus Christ, even as he humbled himself to share our humanity. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Please be seated.
Well, For the time and the word today, the reading of the day is from 2 Timothy chapter 1 and partly from chapter 3. Paul, an apostle of Christ Jesus, by the will of God, in keeping with the promise of life that is in Christ Jesus, to Timothy, my dear son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus, our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve, as my ancestors did, with a clear conscience, as night and day I constantly remember you in my prayers. Recalling your tears, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. I am reminded of your sincere faith, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. For this reason, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God, which is in you through the laying on of my hands. For the Spirit God gave us does not make us timid, but gives us power, love, and self-discipline. So do not be ashamed of my testimony about our Lord Jesus or of me, his prisoner. Rather, join with me in suffering for the gospel by the power of God. He has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of his own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus before the beginning of time, but it has now been revealed through the appearing of our Savior, Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. And of this gospel I was appointed a herald, an apostle, and a teacher. This is why I am suffering as I am. Yet this is no cause for shame, because I know whom I have believed and am convinced that he is able to guard what have entrusted to him until the day. What you have heard from me, keep the pattern of sound teaching with faith and love in Christ Jesus. Guard the good deposit that was entrusted to you. Guard it with the help of the Holy Spirit who lives in us. You know that everyone in the province of Asia has deserted me, including Phygellus, Hermogenes. May the Lord show mercy to the household of Onesiphorus, because he often refreshed me and was not ashamed of my chains. On the contrary, when he was in Rome, he searched hard for me until he found me. May the Lord grant that he will find mercy from the Lord on that day. You know very well in how many ways he held me in Ephesus. But as for you, continue in what you have learned and have become convinced of, because you know those from whom you've learned it, and how from infancy you have known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make you wise for salvation through faith in Christ Jesus. All Scripture is God-breathed and is useful for teaching, rebuking, correcting, and training in righteousness, so that the servant of God may be thoroughly equipped for every good work. This is the word of the Lord.
Thanks be to God.
Please join us as we sing our sermon hymn, Jesus Sinners Doth Receive, from the Lutheran Service Book, number 609.
Thank you.
Pastor Greg Lehr is now entering the pulpit to deliver today's message.
Grace, mercy, and peace to you from God the Father and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. As I said in the opening, today we move on from the book of Acts and our study of the early church, and we turn to a letter written by the Apostle Paul. It's a letter that's addressed to a young pastor by the name of Timothy. Scholars tell us that the Apostle Paul wrote to Timothy approximately 30 years after Jesus' earthly ministry was completed. And by that time, of course, we've been studying it for the last many months. The church was established in many, many, many places, and the mission work was going full steam ahead. And the Apostle Paul, as we found out as well, is definitely one of the pioneers of the Christian faith, and that's what we learned as well in the last many months. So during his lifetime, he did an incredible amount of mission work, traveling many distances. Last week I told you on his third missionary journey alone, he traveled over 2,000 miles and telling literally thousands and thousands of people about Jesus, the one who had changed his life so dramatically. Paul's letters to young Timothy, and there are two of them, of course, contain words of advice from this older man now, more experienced Christian. He's writing to a young man, fairly new to the faith. And when today's text is written, Paul was completing his work for the Lord. And Timothy, on the other hand, was just starting out. And here we are at Paul's second letter. And in fact, it's his final epistle that he'll write, 2 Timothy. So naturally, the letter is devoted to things that are very dear to the apostle's heart. And in this second letter to Timothy, Paul shares his years of experience with this young man, but he also shares it with us as well, too, right? At the time the letter was written, the Apostle Paul probably had more experience sharing Christ than any other living person at the time. So what a better teacher for Timothy to have, and let me say, what a better teacher for us to have. There is no better teacher for us to have aside from the Lord Jesus himself, right? I have an analogy for Christian evangelism. I know that's kind of a touchy word, evangelism, so we could share or say the sharing of the gospel of Christ or the mission of God. I have an analogy. The analogy that I have is comparing it to a relay race. You can see the picture up on the screen. When you think about evangelism this way, you can imagine the Apostle Paul running the race, finishing his leg, and getting ready to pass the baton to the new generation, which is actually the title or the main idea of the message today, to a new generation. And when you think about evangelism that way, you'll realize that all through church history, every generation of Christian has done the same thing, right? They've passed on the baton of faith to the next generation. You may want to think about it that way in your own life as you're running your race of faith. Because someone in the past, I don't know who it was, maybe it was a pastor, a parent, a friend, another relative, cared enough for you to pass on the baton of faith to you, and you received it, and you're here today, so you haven't let it go. And when you think about it, the most loving thing that you and I can do for someone, especially of the younger generation, is to pass that baton of faith on to them as well. The Apostle Paul, he wrote the words of our text while he was a prisoner in Rome. He had been imprisoned on charges of spreading a religion that was forbidden by the Roman Empire. At this time, the government officials were arguing that Paul's preaching stirred people up and turned them away from their political leaders. So the Roman Empire put him in jail. The emperor at the time was Nero. Nero was the one that, as tradition says, fiddled while Rome burned. And after Rome was destroyed by fire, Nero blamed the Christians for doing so. So he began to persecute those who believed in Jesus, the one they called the Way, the Christ. And one of the people caught up then in that persecution at that time was the Apostle Paul himself. At the time of our text, Paul was in jail, and he spent many long hours and days and weeks and years in prison. And the only person that was there for Paul during this specific time was Luke. Luke was with him. At the time of our text was written, many Christians in Rome that believed were martyred for their faith as well. And Paul's turn was imminent. Paul had been in prison before. On at least four different occasions, Paul was in prison, but this time it didn't look good. Scholars tell us that Paul spent about 4 years of his life behind bars during those four different occasions for preaching Jesus Christ. So when you think about it, Paul was nearing the end of his ministry, but he was also nearing the end of his life. For many years and under the most difficult circumstances, Paul had preached Christ to all of those who had ears to hear the message. He had seen many people come to faith as the Holy Spirit sparked faith in them as he proclaimed the word of Christ. I think about Paul when he's in prison. He didn't spend time whining. He didn't spend time complaining. I'm sure the conditions were terrible in prison. But he knew Christ. And he knew that he hadn't forsaken him in the past, and it'd be no different in the future. Paul was able to see things from a perspective of eternity. And he knew that if he had to do it all over again, he wouldn't change a thing. God's servants, if you think about it, in every generation have learned that they're going to face challenges as they serve the Lord, including us today. So we must depend on the strength of the Lord to make it through. While Paul was in prison, he made the best of the situation. Instead of feeling sorry for himself, what did he do? He read Scripture. He wrote letters to various Christian churches and their leaders. And he prayed. In fact, he tells us in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3, Night and day, I constantly remember you in my prayers. While he was in prison, the Apostle Paul longed for Christian fellowship as well. He said this to Timothy in 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 4. He said, I long to see you so that I may be filled with joy. Just a little visit from Timothy would bring joy to the Apostle Paul, to that old man's heart, if you will. And Paul remembered the tears that most likely happened the last time that him and Timothy separated and parted. Let me tell you, dear friends, the Christian church, us, we thrive on healthy fellowship. Our faith is strengthened when we are encouraged by a group of like-minded people. The Apostle Paul may have been one of the founding fathers of the Christian faith overall. He may be one of the greatest missionaries the church has ever known. But he too longed for Christian fellowship that kept his faith strong. I think about the Old Testament, the book of Ecclesiastes, King Solomon. He learned the truth about strength in numbers. Usually we hear this text at weddings, but we get this sound advice from Solomon some 3,000 years ago coming up on the screen. Two are better than one, because they have a good return for their labor. If either of them falls down, one can help the other up. But pity anyone who falls and has no one to help them up. Though one may be overpowered, two can defend themselves. A cord of three strands is not quickly broken. Paul was in the midst of passing his baton of faith to a new generation. Paul knew that when he was gone, Timothy would be the one that would pick up the baton and be the leader and take his place. And Paul had words of advice for Timothy, words that Timothy would take to heart. And today, dear friends, 2,000 plus years later, we too have the privilege of listening to Paul's advice. You see, Paul spoke how Timothy had come to faith. And he spoke of two special women in his life that had a positive influence on Timothy's faith, his mother and his grandmother. We find this in 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 5. I'm reminded of your sincere faith, Paul says, which first lived in your grandmother Lois and in your mother Eunice, and I am persuaded now lives in you also. Scholars, again, they tell us that Timothy's father most likely was a Greek man who apparently never became a Christian. But it seems as though, as time passed, possibly the Apostle Paul took on the role of Timothy's father. And Paul describes Timothy's faith as sincere. The original word in the Greek here means not hypocritical. Timothy's faith was a real thing. He was no hypocrite. He didn't wear a phony mask over his real intentions. And anyone who has been a Christian for a while, we know that our faith life seems to go through stages, right? Sometimes our faith is strong and it's vibrant and we're standing on the Word of God. Other times, maybe it feels a little stale, maybe a little lifeless. And the same was true with Timothy. And I wonder, as Paul wrote this letter and he received it, if Timothy's faith could have used a little boost and got it from this letter from Paul. Paul says and reminds him, I remind you to fan into flame the gift of God. And it's like Paul, sometimes he compared faith to a fire or a flame. And once in a while, think about a fire or a flame, right? It burns low and it needs to be stirred up again. So the fire starts burning hot and bright. And the word for gift in this text up there, the flame, the gift of God, is the Greek word for charisma. In other words, Paul is saying that the charisma we have from God, that is our special gifts, our special abilities, need to be stirred up once in a while. Charisma literally means a gift of grace. All the gifts that we've received from God, including the most important gift, right, the gift of faith, they're all undeserved, but they are a gift of God's grace, and we should never, ever let them go dormant. You see, they need to be stirred up once in a while to get the flame back. And so Christians need to keep that fire of faith burning. And how do we do that? Well, it's pretty logical, right? You study the Bible. We come to worship regularly like you're doing today with God's people. We come to the altar of the Lord to receive His body and blood in with and under the bread and the wine. He's lying there waiting for you right now. And in our text, the Apostle Paul, he's looking to the future and he knows that his time is limited and he knows that God will soon place Timothy into this role of leadership in the church. And Paul wants Timothy to be ready. So Paul reminds Timothy about the message that he's going to be preaching. Paul says on the screen, God has saved us and called us to a holy life, not because of anything we have done, but because of His own purpose and grace. This grace was given to us in Christ Jesus, who has destroyed death and has brought life and immortality to light through the gospel. Now there are several key words here that I'd like to zero in on. Saved, called, grace, life, as well as immortality. See, God took the first step of bringing salvation to Timothy. That old system of sacrifices for sin is not the final answer. God sent His own Son into the world, and through Christ, God will has been made known. Jesus healed broken bodies. Jesus restored broken souls. He's the one who died on the cross to remove that wall of separation, that wall that sprung up between humanity and God, caused by sinfulness. Salvation is God's free gift. It's offered to those who don't deserve it, and those are people like you and me. God gets all the credit for our salvation. We get all the benefits. Paul says, of this gospel, I was appointed a herald and an apostle and a teacher. Now a herald, as I think about it, is a person who proclaims the message of a king. A herald has a message that is shared and proclaimed to everyone that is in earshot. So the early church adapted this word, you see. And they're speaking of preaching the gospel, which is the broadcasting of the gospel authorized by the King of Kings. And then the word apostle is one who's sent with a message. Paul was definitely an apostle sent out by God with a message for the world for his day. And now Timothy, you see, he soon would be the one that would be taking this message out to all. A teacher? Well, a teacher is someone who's able to explain things clearly. And I guess when you think about it, right, us, the Christian church, we are actually in the communication business. We have a message of life in Christ to share with the world, with each other. We are sent, we proclaim, we teach. All this is so that people can come to faith in Jesus Christ. So the Christian faith is centered in Jesus Christ. Think about that. Take him away, and the message loses the ability to save. You take Christ away, and the church loses its reason for being. Take Christ away, and the church then becomes nothing but a glorified social club, or maybe just another religion, a list of many. It's Jesus Christ who makes our faith unique. And Paul told Timothy, don't be ashamed of that faith. And don't be ashamed of me, Paul. Paul knew that as a result of Timothy's preaching that many, many, many are going to come to the knowledge of Jesus Christ. God has breathed into his scriptures the breath of life and has given them life so that those scriptures might inspire and instruct us, breathing that life into you and me. May God enable us here at Zion Lutheran Church to do our part in fulfilling that great commission in our preaching, in our teaching, in our baptizing, making disciples for the Lord Jesus Christ, passing on the baton of faith to a new generation. Let me say and end by, may God grant that in Jesus' name. Amen. May the peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus, who's using us to pass on that baton of faith. Amen. Well, we'll rise then if you're able, and we'll confess the Nicene Creed together, which will come up on the screens before you. I believe in one God, the Father Almighty, maker of heaven and earth, and of all things visible and invisible, and in one Lord Jesus Christ, the only begotten Son of God, begotten of his Father before all worlds, God of God, light of light, very God of very God, begotten, not made, being of one substance with the Father, by whom all things were made, who for us men and for our salvation came down from heaven and was incarnate by the Holy Spirit of the Virgin Mary and was made man, and was crucified also for us under Pontius Pilate. He suffered and was buried, and on the third day he rose again according to the Scriptures and ascended into heaven and sits at the right hand of the Father, and he will come again with glory to judge both the living and the dead, whose kingdom will have no end. And I believe in the Holy Spirit, the Lord and giver of life, who proceeds from the Father and the Son, who with the Father and the Son together is worshiped and glorified, who spoke by the prophets. And I believe in one holy Christian and apostolic church. I acknowledge one baptism for the remission of sins, and I look for the resurrection of the dead and the life of the world to come. Amen. Please be seated. We'll collect our offerings and tithes at this time. Remember the prayer request cards. You can drop them into the trays. That'd be great. Also, we have the children's treasure box up here where they can walk up their offering. That'd be wonderful. Ushers, come on up.
Please join the congregation as they sing our offering hymn, Glory Be to God the Father, from the Lutheran Service Book, number 506.
Thank you.
If able, please rise for prayer. Almighty and most merciful God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, we give you thanks for all your goodness and tender mercies, especially for the gift of your dear Son and for the revelation of your will and grace. Implant your word in us that with good and honest hearts we may keep it and bring forth the fruits of faith. We humbly implore you to rule and govern your church throughout the world. Bless all those who proclaim your truth that we may be preserved in pure doctrine of your saving word, and that faith in you may be strengthened, love toward others increased, and your kingdom extended. Send forth laborers into your harvest, and sustain those whom you have sent, that the word of reconciliation may be proclaimed to all people, and the gospel preached to all the world. Grant health and prosperity to all who are in authority, especially to the President and Congress of the United States, the governor and legislature of this state, and to all who make, administer, and judge our laws. Grant them grace to rule according to your good pleasure for the maintenance of righteousness and the hindrance and punishment of wickedness, that we may lead quiet and peaceable lives in all godliness and honesty. According to your good pleasure, turn the hearts of our enemies and adversaries that they may cease their hostilities and walk with us in meekness and in peace. Comfort, O God, with your Holy Spirit all who are in trouble, want, sickness, anguish of labor, peril of death, or any other adversity. Today we remember Judy Schmuck, who was in a car accident but now finds herself in rehab. Work through all of the means that you have given her, Lord, in that facility to bring her back home. Grant courage and steadfastness, especially to those who suffer in your name's sake, that they may receive and accept their afflictions in the confidence that you will acknowledge them as your own. Grant your Holy Spirit to those who come to the Lord's table this day, that they may receive the body and blood of Christ in sincere repentance and firm faith into their abundant blessing. As we are strangers and pilgrims here on earth, help us by true faith and a godly life to prepare for the world to come, doing the work you have given us to do while it is day, before the night comes when no one can work. And when our last hour comes, support us by your power and receive us into your heavenly kingdom. Through Jesus Christ our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord be with you.
And also with you.
Lift up your hearts.
We lift them to the Lord.
Let us give thanks to the Lord our God.
It is right to give him thanks and praise.
It is truly good, right, and salutary that we should at all times and in all places give thanks to you, Holy Lord, Almighty Father, everlasting God, through Jesus Christ our Lord, who overcame the assaults of the devil and gave his life as a ransom for many, that with cleansed hearts we may be prepared joyfully to celebrate the Paschal feast in sincerity and truth. Therefore, with angels and archangels, and with all the company of heaven, we laud and magnify your glorious name evermore, praising you and singing. We join together and pray the Lord's Prayer. Our Father, who art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our trespasses, as we forgive those who trespass against us. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory, forever and ever. Amen. And now this eating and drinking of the body and blood of your Lord and Savior strengthen and preserve you in both body and soul unto life everlasting. Depart in peace. Amen. O God, the Father and fountain and source of all goodness, who in loving kindness sent your only begotten Son into the flesh We thank you that for his sake you have given us pardon and peace in this sacrament, and we ask you not to forsake your children, but always to rule our hearts and minds by your Holy Spirit, that we may be enabled constantly to serve you. Through Jesus Christ, your Son, our Lord, who lives and reigns with you in the Holy Spirit, one God, now and forever. Amen. The Lord bless you and keep you. The Lord's face shine upon you and be gracious unto you. The Lord look upon you with favor and grant you peace. Amen.
Our closing hymn today is Rejoice, Rejoice, Believers, from the Lutheran Service Book, number 515.
Zion Lutheran, we are committed to reaching out, strengthening the saved, and serving Jesus Christ by serving others. Amen. Thank you.
You have been listening to a broadcast of the early morning worship service of Zion Lutheran Church, Sioux Falls, South Dakota. If you have no regular church home, we want to invite you to be our guests at our Sunday services. Traditional worship is held at 8 a.m., and contemporary worship is held at 10:30. Our educational hour with classes for all ages is at 9:15. Zion Lutheran Church is located one block west of Minnesota Avenue at 22nd and Spring and is affiliated with the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If these broadcasts have been a blessing to you, we would appreciate your prayers and support. Our mailing address is Zion Lutheran Church, 1400 South Duluth Avenue, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, 57105. Or visit us online at zionlutheransf.com, and you can also find us on Facebook and on YouTube. Thank you for listening and for your support in this ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ. God's blessings to each of you. Until next week, this is Jeff Flayton wishing you the blessings of God's grace in Christ Jesus.